Hey, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast Live. We are very live. And today, you'll want to have your questions ready because we've got with us an amazing artist with over 10 years as an art director, character designer, animator, key art storyboard artist, Shmo Draws. Shmo, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm a bit nervous, so yes. Be nice.
Oh, don't be nervous. Look at all the hearts that are appearing down here. Like, and look at the comments. Everyone's being so positive and excited. Like, it's going to be great. And for people wondering, these do get saved and we will have it up for you later in the day. But why don't you tell everyone what you do so that we can get everyone to know you?
Well, I mainly just draw for myself. Well, no, actually I draw for a living, but I think about most of the stuff that I do for myself. Like, I just love doing that. And yes, I draw from my life, from having my son at home, and that's what basically sort of gets me like really inspired and everything. But yeah, I think I just love arting. I just love exploring art and trying new stuff. At the moment, I'm very much into background exploration. So there's lots to do. And yes, otherwise, aside from the private stuff, I do freelance work for game companies. And yes, that at the moment, mainly.
That's amazing. So one thing that we're going to be doing just for people watching and just tuning in, first, make sure to like, subscribe, all of that so that we can continue making product for you. But also make sure to leave your questions in the comments below because we do have producers that are writing down those questions. We'll do a Q&A at the end of this. It's always excellent to get your guys' questions because that way we can reach out and really help you guys. But let's get started on how you got started in art, because when we talked earlier this week, I loved hearing about what got you into art.
Well, where do you want me to start? Very early or middle early?
Let's touch on very early, but then quickly jump to middle early.
Okay. So, okay. Like, I think I'm like all the kids out there. Everything started with Walt Disney. I was in love with the fox, with Robin. So that's where I think my love started. I really do. But then I drew lots of Disney art. But very early on, I also started making up stuff for myself. I know my mum sort of was always a bit weird looking at me like, wow, where you come up with these things, like making up my own toys and saying, okay, I want to dress him up like this and he will have a brush with him, because I really love all these kids toys where they come with tons of gadgets, and I was like, okay, he's got these gadgets and everything. But yes, that was like 10-ish. And yes, then later it was anime and manga for me. I got into it probably like all people, like with Sailor Moon and stuff, not knowing that it was anime around me before, and I always just liked all the cartoons and stuff. But I think I always liked tons of different stuff of art, and like not only anime, just also the Franco-Belgian stuff, comics. And yeah, at some point I just sort of thought, okay, I might try to do a comic, and that was like 15, and it was so much work. I hated it doing that. I got into 8 pages or so. That was quite a lot. But yeah, so that's where it probably began for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of people really did start in similar things where they found something that they really loved and really like resonated with, whether it's a cartoon or a comic book, and they really enjoyed that and were able to pivot that into their art. Something that I'm seeing real quick is just watch your mic. I think it's hitting on a table. There we go.
I'll just put both earphones plugged in and nothing will be hitting anything. Okay.
There we go. We do put it out as audio as well. So thank you, people in the comments, for letting us know. But yeah, I think that that's a really common way that people get into art and really get excited about art. And I'm seeing other people in the comments too saying like that they love just like finding different ways to explore style in what they draw. And they get inspired by seeing whether it's manga or the Disney animation or stuff in games, and that helps drive them into art. So right now, you've been making a lot of art and putting it out on social media, and you've been finding a lot of kind of fun and exploration in that. So I'd love to kind of go into what you are working on right now and what you've been putting out across your channels.
Well, I think it is as I would start like by saying, okay, I used to just sort of spread out very generally, like doing illustrations and stuff, and just sort of never really looking for a style, more just trying new stuff out, sort of always saying, oh, I like that one. Oh, no, I like this. And sort of always just taking bits and pieces of stuff which I liked and always incorporating it in my art, and actually never really trying to achieve like a certain goal or anything. Just sort of, I think to me, I think the most interesting thing about art is learning more. I just always, like, I want to learn more. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that was before. And now I still want to learn and I still find that fascinating. But the facet of, telling stories has grown as a big part of my life. I don't want to do comics because comics are so much work, like real comics. But I
Sequential art
get,
is terrifying.
storyboarding is as well, but I do like that as well. But it's very exhausting. But that's why I find my happiness in like three panels and that telling like just a small, relatable story from my daily life with my kid. And he presented me with so many stories like daily, on a daily basis, especially at the beginning, because it was like, oh my God, I've got this little human and he does stuff and everything was amazing. So, and I mean, other people, parents, just tell other parents who, or other friends who are like, oh, talking about his kid again, but I can just put it into my art and have other parents relate, but also other people.
So what sort of shift did you notice when you went from maybe finding inspiration from like pop culture or media to finding kind of inspiration for what you create in your own life? What was that like for you?
I think it was really the relatability what changed most, because I mean, there's lots of artists out there who are brilliant in lighting, character design, in all these. I mean, I'm good at this stuff too, but I think what makes it special is when there is like a true core to it, and this truth. I think that's important to me, and it has grown more important ever since. Like I'm always struggling in defining what kind of artist I am, because I mean I told you I'm like a what did I say, a comic cartoony illustration I would describe my art. But then again, what is cartoony illustration? And I found that I like story artists. I like the word story artist a lot, and I think I would like to define myself as that, and visual development artist. So these two things are like, okay, I love both of these things, like sort of letting things grow, see how stuff evolves, and not really, I don't want to have to do the whole thing. I just want to develop it.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to explore that. And what's really cool is you have taken all these different parts of art throughout your entire art career, and you're kind of now finding your own way to celebrate all those aspects in what you create. Because like you're saying, you're not developing like necessarily sequential art, but you're bringing in this like history of storyboarding and of telling your truth to still tell a story visually, which is really cool.
And I always also don't want to take too long on my stuff nowadays, because I was like, oh, when I was back then, I was like niggling for like 3 days at a painting or something, which sometimes can be really nice. And I would love to have the time to do that, but I don't anymore. So, because my life really is pretty full with the kid and work and everything. So I just tried. That was what I think that's one of my favorite stuff to tell, is like when I was pregnant, I knew, okay, when that kid comes, you won't have much time for drawing. So I thought I had to get faster, real quick. And I used to be a niggly kind of person. So I said, no, you'll like draw daily and draw in your sketchbook all the time, produce stuff which looks good, but doesn't take like longer than 2 hours at the most. So that was what was like my goal was to get. And that was, that really helped me as well a lot. I think that I don't find that much joy in trying to find like the, put so much work into it and to have it then final. I think it's the real art to me is to get what I want quickly, sort of to communicate right. what I can.
So, which is that, I mean, that's a big part of storyboarding though too, right? Yes. Is knowing how to convey the most information with the least amount there, which still yes. gives directors, other artists, you know, depending on what sort of project you're working on, the freedom to develop around that, but still being able to know what they're working on. And so.
Yeah. And that is something I admire hugely, which I feel like, I mean, I've been doing storyboards, but there's storyboards and storyboards. You can do storyboards for a for a film, or you can be doing storyboards for a game where you've got like a couple of things where you can really work on them and make them pretty, because there's like these, or advertising storyboards. I haven't done the really, really fast storyboards yet.
Yeah, so what would you think are like maybe three things that people who are looking to maybe increase the speed of their art without losing the intention or the story behind their art? What are like three things that people might be able to focus on?
I think thumbnailing is really, really, really important. And being able to sort of your own thumbnailing style, because I find that truly hard as well. And I'm still, I feel like I'm looking for that. And that's the beauty. I always feel you can always get better in this stuff. And, but yes, a good way of thumbnailing. And then when you've got down that, you need the skill to, to blow it up a bit and not have sit there and say the thumbnail was so much more beautiful, because that's what usually happens, and I also have that problem.
Like I think everyone
transferring
hates that.
It, but then yeah. you can. That's why that's the good thing about iPads and stuff, because you can just say okay, zip, and now I'm just drawing exactly on that thumbnail which I did, and I'm going to have to redraw it. I hate redrawing stuff.
You got to start with a thumbnail that's like 3,000 DPI.
Yay, totally thumbnail. You can be like, dude, lots of them in that one.
Yeah, just shrink down your visible canvas.
But I only said two things, and now I'm thinking about the third thing, which would be good for improving the speed. Yeah, I think the idea is most important. So what I feel like what slows one down is when you don't have a clear idea. Like when you're sort of trying to find the idea while drawing, which is totally fine as well, because that happens to me as well, but sort of sitting down first. And what I do is like I just sort of think through the day and see what was special to me, what sort of stuck out, and sort of try to visualize that. And how would I tell it? And then sometimes I sort of go through a couple of different scenes. What would work better? Or play back and forth with my husband. Oh, do you think this would make sense if I cropped it this way or something? And it's like, yeah, I think it would be more effective if you took the last panel and put it to the front. Stuff like that, because there's, you can experiment with that as well. But sort of, yes, having a clear idea on the forehand also is very helpful for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think especially when you're trying to express something as minimally as possible or as quickly as possible, that having that idea is paramount to being able to convey that, because your end goal is to convey an idea. So having that at the top and being able to carry that through, super important.
Yeah, putting the work in on the floor and before even starting sort of really getting to know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a thing that, not to tangent too much, but we talked about like social media earlier, and I got so excited because I think that, and something that I always get caught on is people see the finished product on social media. They see yes. like this finished thing, and there's so much work prepping for what goes into the art and developing it and really like conceiving the idea and telling the story to it, that like hearing artists like yourself who are so amazing and established and like do such great work talk about that really, I think, helps deliver that impact that people need to know, that it's not just you create this thing and it's done, that there's this prep work into it.
Yes. I feel that's why I like posting the process of stuff. That's mm-hmm. because I think that's what I like seeing from other people as well, because I just sort of like seeing, okay, how do people get where they go? And then just when I get an art book which is only full of finished art, I'm totally disappointed. I'm not really that interested in that anymore. Because I mean, yes, obviously a couple of them, but then I want to see the sketch and everything. So that's to me is, and that's like with everything, it's always the process of something. I mean, obviously the Ghibli backgrounds for them, they stand for themselves. I would take a book with only those as well. But then if that book was prop full of them sort of photographing how they were sitting there drawing it, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about seeing, like you said, the process where you get to see that exploration and why did you choose this over this, or why did you pivot where this building was, and being able to kind of reverse engineer it and say like, oh, this is helping frame better by having this here, and seeing the thought that goes into it is really exciting.
Yeah, I always feel that I get a new angle into my art through seeing how other people do it. And it's not always that you get this aha moment, obviously, but you are kind of waiting for that to happen, and just sort of seeing how people organize their layers can be so helpful, because it's like when you're sort of starting in digital art, you're like, all these possibilities and what can I do with them, and just sort of seeing, okay. But then there's also the other part of what works for me, and just sort of balancing it. Okay, these people do it that way. I just can't do it that way. It's like, I think I was Nicholas Cole, watching him a live stream of him and how he was sketching with this special pencil he created, and he was sort of saying from Tara's brush set, whatever, and he's saying like, mm-hmm. this is the best pencil, and I was like, oh my god, I want to try that pencil. And then I was so frustrated that I couldn't get the same effect of beautiful, lovely sketches like he does, because I had the same tool and it didn't work the way he had it. Yeah, well, it doesn't work for me, but I still got it because I had to try it.
Yeah, I think that's always one of those fun things too, is you always see on live streams, everyone's like, what brush are you using? Like, immediately.
Brush mania. Nobody.
It's like, yeah, when was the last time someone asked Gordon Ramsay what oven he's using? You know, like.
Oh, but I think he gets that asked as well. Like, what's your special frying pan? What skillet do you use? Whatever.
Probably. So one thing I want to touch on while we're kind of in the social media side here and talking about like developing stuff there and watching stuff online is, we talked a little bit about how there's like healthy ways to use social media.
Yes.
And kind of the benefits, but also the challenges of it. So I'd love for you to go into kind of how you perceive social media as an artist.
For me, social media has always been a blessing. Because when I started with social media, it kept me motivated. It was just like this first artist site where they had little stars next to the images which you could give away. And then I had stupid goals like wanting to get all the stars on one page. Silly. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's not important. But it really got me into posting regularly, which was posting, drawing regularly. So that silly competition thing in my head got me further. So that it is helpful in a way, but then obviously you have to look out that you don't get caught up in it too far. At the beginning, it was a very manageable. The sites weren't as cheeky as they are now, like luring you back in and everything. but still, if you sort of realize it, when you're just like, oh God, I've again picked up my cell phone without doing anything, then I mean, I think everybody it is dangerous, but yeah, if you have that realization for yourself, you have to find, like a friend of mine, she deinstalls Instagram every time she posts.
What?
She posts.
Oh my gosh.
And then she deinstalls it afterwards because she doesn't want to sort of, get caught up in everything. She wants to post her art. That wouldn't be for me because I actually like reading the comments and so, but what works for me is like I look at the comments for an hour or a bit more, and if I'm bored, I go in again and so, and then go in the next day and check what else has come and answer the comments which are sort of asking stuff or really sweet comments, and I go on those. But I think that's best way to sort of post it and then play a bit with it and then sort of take the phone and really put it far away from yourself. Sort of like, okay, and now I really want to focus on, like, not the freeze. It doesn't have to be that far, but yeah, it doesn't always work for me either. I mean, I get caught up, and but I always feel that I don't want to be a slave to the algorithms, and then I say, no, I'm going to post at 9 o'clock in the morning, even though I know that nobody will really see it. And then it happens that it's kind of freeing, because then I know, okay, there's not that much interaction, it's probably because of the algorithm, and it's not because my art is bad or anything, it's just the algorithm. So if it's not the most important thing to get more, if you know that the algorithm is so random, you don't have to mm-hmm. feel bad if you don't get that much interaction, because people get, I was always like, oh, why is this? What's wrong with my art? But no, it's not wrong. Nothing wrong with your art. It's just the algorithm. And so then it's like, fine.
I think exactly that. If you can find a good balance of like being able to enjoy sharing your artwork and learning from the conversations that you have and building those relationships online, but still not putting all the pressure behind what you're being told, because you know it's not 100% authentic. Like there's... You're not in control of who sees it. You're not in control of how many people see it. You know, finding that where you have kind of that healthy look of, it's the algorithm. It probably is. Like,
fine with me. I'll just post another. It's like, be happy when it blows up and a lot of people comment on it. I think it's always like this, when it once works and then you want it to work again, and then you just sort of get, but that's so, it's not as important. And we always get up and caught up in these, yeah, not that. It's not about the art anymore if you get caught up about the algorithm, so.
Exactly, yeah, it should be about the art. And what I love seeing, like, there's nothing better than when we, like, get to post a piece like DeviantArt, or when I see a post from an artist online and you get that conversation underneath of, like, yes. Oh, I love this because of this, or, like, oh, I tried, you know, and then you see the artist say, like, oh, I tried this originally, and then you just keep hearing that, like, whole story, and it's almost like getting the full process thing that you were talking about earlier. It's like, yes, seeing behind the scenes of the art without even having the pictures there.
And for me also, when I like get stories of the other perspective, like when I have some kind of example, like my kid swallowed a lollipop not long ago, and I know that when I share this story in with the stick, he swallowed it, including the stick. So parents who see this story, they're like, you know what, my kid swallowed, he swallowed this and this and this, and then you get these whole funny stories under this post, and tragic also, but I mean it's just so alive then, and that's what's really nice.
Yeah, I think the communities that can be found online are amazing. Like, finding that community and being able to celebrate with them is like one of the best things of the time we're in.
Yeah.
I see people in the comments saying that they love your book. It makes me so happy to see people talking about it. And I keep getting distracted. I keep looking at all the art behind you and trying to like ID all the pieces. And again, people in the comments, we are doing a Q&A at the end. So leave your questions now. We'll ask again later, but get those questions in so that we can have a great Q&A. Something that we talked on earlier too, that like,
yes,
I really loved hearing from you, is the idea of style, because the number mm-hmm. one question whenever we prompt for questions, how do I find my style? How do I develop my style? And I think that you have such a healthy outlook on that, that I'd love for you to be able to share that with everyone.
I sort of nudged on this at the beginning, and I'll sort of go back to that then.
Yeah.
I really, really, really don't care much about style. I'm sometimes actually quite annoyed by my own style. So that like feel like style isn't something that you acquire. Style is something who you are. And because it will just sort of come out in your drawings. And obviously you style will develop from different kinds of sources which you love, which are sort of like, oh, I love Akira, I love Ghibli, I love stuff like that. I love how he draws noses, I love like he draws ears. And this like cooking pot somehow develops into your style. But I think style is nothing that actually stops. So, and then when I feel like, oh, I don't like how I draw this and this, then I just sort of sometimes go through my own drawings like, huh, I remember being like this and drawing stuff like this. But that's not the way, I don't think that that's actual style. I think that it's just something like handwriting. It just flows out of you, and it will come, that in combination with all these different inspirations, that's the style. So you actually can't do anything but get an own style. You will always get one. You just have to do a lot. So that's I always think, oh boy, why are you all worrying about it? Just draw, because it will happen. And I think that's, yeah. And I always take it, and I develop it for myself in a way by taking bits and pieces from myself then again, when I think, okay, you're going in the right direction here. This is something I would like to explore further. And then I just sort of go there. Or I think, oh, I remember that when I did something this and this, and incorporate that again. So it's something so alive and growing. And yes, it's also beautiful. I don't think about it much because it just happens, but yeah, sorry. It's like
that's exactly it though. Like that's so true. Is like you develop your style. You're never, I don't think you ever fully achieve a style. You always have a style. And the style is just where you're at right now in your art journey. And it's about
depends on the artist. Some people do have like one signature way of drawing and they're happy with that. And maybe and that you could then say, okay, this is a finished style. But I think that's only what happens when they are made to stay there. Like, I think that can be a problem for some artists when they're like, oh yes, we just want you for that style. And then they have to do that all their life, maybe. And that, I think that's really tragic. But then again, maybe they just like that. But I'm somebody who just loves trying out lots of new things and don't want to be stuck on one style.
Yeah, I think that you see a lot of people who, like you said, it becomes a job to have that style. And yes, that's a really great thing to have, that skill of I can lock into this particular look. That's very, yes, marketable. That's great. But I think a lot of the people who do that still have these other explorations in their personal work. So their style is still improving, and you may not see it in the job lock-in, but you may see like maybe their backgrounds are getting more detailed than they used to be. You, yes, might see these things coming over from their personal studies into that work still.
And I know I did so much different stuff, cartoony to really realistic, but then people often tell me, I can always tell that it's from you, because even though it's really different, it's that just that handwriting in the background that will always sort of pull it together. And if people are familiar with your art, they will see it. I can always tell from my friends who did what, because I just sort of know their art, and it's not because they're looking for their style, it's just because they have it.
Yeah, I love the way you speak on this, and you're so good at speaking on it. And I know that part of that is because you teach a lot and you make a lot of tutorials and tips. And right now you're actually, your Patreon has like a lot of stuff on that, right? Like where you're kind of helping direct and steer people.
Yes, yes, yes. I helping people find how art works for them has always been good for me. I don't know, I just sort of did it naturally. I think that's why I became art director in my other job, because I was like, in my job, I wasn't even the main artist, but then the other ones, like the animator, is like, oh, something doesn't work. And we were both going over the animation together. Yeah, how can we do this? And I always came over, even if nobody asked me. I think I wasn't that annoying person. I think I was helpful. No, but I, my, the art director then was always going to say, go to Simona, she'll help you. And then he left and I was like, oh, okay, now I'm doing this. Well, okay, I'll keep going. But it just always helped, was natural to me. And when I felt that somebody was lacking in a certain area, or it was like people were having problems drawing hands or something, I just said, okay, come on, let's do a workshop. And then I sort of organized and explained how I draw hands, and everybody's like, oh yes, this is so good. And so that's kind of very early. That was, I was like 26. No, okay, maybe a bit later, but still I was doing it in my company. And yeah, and then it felt rather natural to just keep doing it. And I always feel that I learn most. That's so great, because when I sort of, like when I do on my Patreon, I do a post, okay, how do you draw hands? How do you draw feet? Anatomy, whatnot. There's always, I sort of say, okay, and how do shoulders work? And then I have to research and have to look at it in depth. And by doing that tutorial, I learn a lot. So I love doing them because of that. It's like, okay, doing research work, which I wouldn't have done otherwise. And I feel like since I've been doing tutorials, I've improved a lot myself because of all this groundwork I've been doing. So you can study my tutorials or actually do own tutorials that try to teach other people. That's both legitimate.
Yeah, I think that there's a saying that's like, the best way to learn is to teach, because the questions you get from people while teaching are things that you might take for granted or not realize that you're even doing. Like your example of shoulders, like maybe the way that I draw like shoulder blades is just naturally my hand style, and I don't realize that what I'm doing is mimicking anatomy. But when someone says like, hey, can you do this? Or why do you do this? Then I can actually look into and realize, oh, that is anatomy. You know? And so yes. You learn all these other things through the questions of others. It's kind of a really cool cyclical thing of learning through teaching, through learning, through teaching.
Yeah, I felt so with light a lot, because like colors and light, that's something like, there's a lot of things you do intuitively, especially when coloring, and some things work and some things don't. And you learn by sort of having to sort of sort, okay, this really didn't work. But then, mm-hmm. and that's how I used to work. But now I've actually looked at, okay, how does it really work? And stuff which you kind of know, you sort of heard it before, but then sort of refreshing it, that's like the best.
All right, so I'm going to get this rolling into the Q&A, because we're getting closer to the end, because okay. Time goes so fast on these.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You just looked at the clock, right? Like, it's
yes,
crazy.
I did. I was like, so, whoa, 40 minutes.
So really quick, everyone, make sure to leave questions in the comments so that we can ask those questions to Simona while we've got her on with us. And thank you for joining us. And again, just a reminder that in our bios, both of ours, you can click through and leave a caption on a piece of art, which can get you a Wacomone tablet or a chance to enter to win a Wacomone tablet. And we just want to help you like level up. There's no real tricks to it or anything like that. We just want to help you in your art journey. So thank you for providing the artwork for that caption contest. I almost took down my entire desk by hitting my cord. It's like looped through everything. But let's get into this Q&A.
Let's.
All right. So I see one from Ernest Illustrates that says, any tips for someone over 30 who wants to start a career in illustration?
Draw a lot. I know that I know a friend of mine who actually started at 30, and he was so intense on doing this that he just did it. And it's really, really important. At a certain age, you can try start whenever. It doesn't really matter, but you really have to put the time into it, because then you've missed out on a lot of things other people have been doing for a longer time. So I'd say you'd like, it's basically a non-stop job. I mean, 8 hours a day drawing can sound a lot, but I would recommend it because you do have to put the hours in. If drawing is a lot about putting in the work. Yeah. That's, I think that's the main, because other than that, other than putting in a lot of time, I don't see any problems. Then that's just the only thing you have to do.
From Leora L, I have, what are your views on art school? Do we really need to go there to be an artist?
I mean, I think you don't, let's put it like this. my art school was a just normal graphic design school, and I did whatever I wanted and had the time to do so. So if you're at art school, you have like the most time in your life to explore stuff, to just pursue projects, to develop yourself. I just loved studying because I was so free in what to do. I had like sort of slight boundaries, and within these little boundaries, I felt so free. If I didn't have the boundaries, it would be hard to get started in the morning. But in this frame, that's, you don't need the best teachers. I mean, a good teacher will help you, but it's just really this getting yourself motivated if you're doing it from home. I am guessing that that's harder, but not undoable. Like, you can do it, but art schools in a way are great because you don't have to do a job, maybe. I mean, or maybe you have to also work. But then if I wasn't working at the time, I was still living at home. So I just didn't have that much. I could just focus on art. And that was like the best time in my life. So. And yeah, it wasn't really because it was also great. It's just like, it's the best thing. So like people, oh yes, they're all complaining about the art school or whatever. And I was like, it's up to you. It's what you'd make from it.
It kind of ties into the previous question. If you want to do art, like, you have to put in the hours. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Let's see. Juan Sko says, do you have any online workshops planned in the near future?
Workshops, not as such. I mean, I have lots of videos on my Patreon, but they're not like from beginner to advanced, but this is something I'm actually been thinking about, of sort of trying to structure all the stuff I've been working on, and then maybe starting a series of videos which start at the very beginning and go to the more advanced things. So, but it's not a real plan, it's just something I've been playing in my mind. So we'll see when that happens.
So I see a question right now from Tom Wattel that says, which is more important, concept or craft? Also, hi, Simone.
I mean, you need both, but I think the concept is still the most important because, yeah, the craft you can just sort of layer on top afterwards. I mean, you need a certain level to sort of communicate what you want to communicate. So, but then again, the concept to me should be the most important thing, and everything else is like sort of glitter, and some people follow people for the glitter or for the concept. But yes, it always depends on what kind of artist you really are, because I mean, some people have really fun in just sort of making beautiful stuff. Then others do beautiful stuff and have a concept behind it, which to me is the most high level stuff then. But yeah, that's still a concept.
Let's see. Oh, come on, where is it? Oh, so from Our Real Me, they say, how do you balance making art for yourself, your job, being a wife and a mom? you do it all, how?
I have a secret. No. Since I don't do much else than drawing, my life is pretty boring. Like, I don't go partying. We don't even travel much. I mean, with Corona, but nothing before, we didn't do that much either. And we structured our lives really well in terms of, I work part-time, half day, I do my jobs, then I collect the kid, have him, and that's a really good break because then I have like real life happening with him. And then in the evenings, if I have the energy, I draw for myself. And on the weekends, which is the important part, my husband and I have sort of said, okay, from 11 till 11, it's family time. After that, 4 hours for me or him. And then in the other evening part, he has 4 hours that I have. And we switch on Saturday and Sunday. So we both have like the time in the evening where we can just sort of drift away into the from like 4 o'clock into the night. So that's actually quite a lot of time to have just to spend for yourself. And because we're both that way, we need time for ourselves. And Remus is fine with that. He knows, okay, mum and dad sort of switch with me. And yes, and during the week, we've got time together. So yes.
I think balancing it out and knowing that you need that balance is really healthy. Like, that's amazing. I think
yes, a lot of people... having a structure, really. Just sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And no. I apologize. Come on, you're the guest. You're the special guest. Like, and we're all learning through you. So, like, yeah, I think blocking out that time is super helpful. Like, finding that time for yourself, whether you want to be doing your art or whether you want to be doing something else, but knowing that you have that time is really freeing.
Yeah, and we realized very early on that we have to do this because we were, at some point we were like, okay, we're both take care of the kid, and then we were just both done in at the end, and we didn't get anything done, and it didn't really help that both were doing it at the same time. And we were just so frustrated. It was like, okay, we have to sort of get this done somehow.
let's see. Art of Leo Black says, I would love to sell my art one day. Do you have any tips on how to get started, like selling, marketing, making that leap to being someone that sells their art?
To be honest, that's really hard because I wouldn't know how to do that with my art either yet. I think there's some people who just have a style that is very commercial and that works for selling. Like, then I'd say look for something which works for you and the audience and then target towards that. Sort of really, if you really want to sell it, but then again, art will sell probably best if it's authentic and it's what people want from you. So it's really hard, but I think I'd stick with authenticity in it because that's something which is then will make it special. If you just sort of, yes, as soon as it's generic, you will really have probably trouble to sell your art. So pour your heart into it.
Yeah. And there is that balance too. Like you said, there's authenticity, but you can find, like, everyone, when they say, like, you know, cater to your audience, that's such a almost damning phrase because that makes it seem like you're selling out. You can also find an audience through your authenticity. Like, if you do something that you're very passionate about and you're doing it with intent, you're going to find an audience that appreciates that. Like you said, it's going to show, it's going to feel special, and people are going to want to support that. So find an audience that is that truth.
Yeah. Because when I know that I, for myself, always use, like, so you see your art and you say, okay, that's something which a lot of people like. Okay, is this something I like as well? And if you both like it, that's something you want to pursue and the audience, then it's fine. Then it's, you're not catering to the audience. It's just sort of you going that way. But then I really can't stand when people say, like, I had one comment that was like, I nearly unfollowed you because you didn't post much of your personal life. And I was like, okay, sorry, I'm exploring stuff because I want to do that. And I really, 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 really don't care that you would have unfollowed me for that because I'm doing what I'd want to do on my channel. So, no, because it's like the cheek of it. It's like, okay, I don't know what this info would have brought me, but if you like my art, you stay, and if you don't,
yeah, you gotta have that balance because you're putting so much energy into creating the art, and even posting on social media takes energy.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. All right, we've got time for just a few more questions. Let's see. How do you get noticed as an artist, especially as a freelancer, from Anna Mudge?
Oh, this is always so hard to answer because I know I just always did what I liked and then I got noticed and I didn't follow a formula. I didn't sort of have like a guidebook for myself in a way. So I just always say it's again the same thing. Do something with passion and then people will see that and say, I want that passion from that person. And that's what that will again show, because I didn't go, I haven't written a resume for somebody in my life. It was always just people coming to me. It's like, oh, you want to work for this, you want to work for that. And I was only focused on, I want to do art. I want to draw. I didn't care where I was working, in what field, really. I was just saying, I want to do what I want to do. And then it just sort of happened because I had this focus. I think, yeah. And I put, and I had my focus, and I showed my art online. And I was really, really good at showing my art online. Because if you don't show it, you can be the best artist in the world. Nobody will notice. So show what you've got. You don't have to be the greatest communicator, but it helps. It helps to interact with your audience, because then you will grow. So okay, I'll say, like, focus on your art, then show your art, and interact with your community. And that's like the three things you can do.
Yeah, I think that those are real solid ones. Everyone's going to have, like you said, a different path of what makes them get noticed. But I think that, like you said, those three things are pretty consistent across anyone's journey. Focus on your art, be passionate about it, put it out there.
And I think it's harder for people who are like, okay, I want to work at this company and that's my goal. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have to ask yourself, is that the right goal? Because I don't know, it's their goals, I don't know. But I know that for me, it worked best. I just wanted to draw, and I really didn't want to, it wasn't like the fame or anything, or working at Disney would be that. I was always like, okay, but at Disney, I would be just like a little wheel in a cog, and then I'd be not doing what I want to do. So I don't know. It's always priorities. And I was always jumping on opportunities. If they came to me, I was like, okay, let's explore this. Okay, let's explore that. And that's how I got to where I am. So.
All right. Well, that was amazing. That was an amazing Q&A. Like, we hit so much. And I really enjoyed having you on the podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
I was very happy to be here.
But before we sign out, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, here on my Instagram, and I've reopened my DeviantArt account, because yes. I felt that Instagram is very, very fast and everything, and I sort of enjoyed playing with my page and everything, and I wanted to keep that going again. And then Patreon, obviously, Patreon and Schmoodros, and yes, Facebook, Twitter. I'm not very active on Twitter, so Facebook not either. But I'm there. But yeah, it's probably Instagram and DeviantArt, and Patreon. So these three.
All right. Well, great. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Everyone watching, thank you for joining us. It means a lot to have you tune in every week. Make sure to like this, comment on it, all those things, so that we can continue bringing you incredible artists from all around the globe and getting to share their experiences with you. Simone, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. Thank you. Goodbye. It was great seeing you.
Bye-bye.